Hello and welcome to this episode of the Corporate Escapers TV show and podcast. I'm your host, Christine Innes. Now, I'm delighted to have this very amazing, talented, beautiful human being, Nikki Jerd, joining us. Welcome, lovely.
Amazing, talented, and beautiful is really hard to hold up, you know? I never think of myself in that way, but I'm going to fold that up and put that in my pocket for when I'm having a bad day and thrillingly unfold it. And yeah, you can be in my pocket then for confidence building moments.
Amazing. Just hit replay anytime you need a little boost. I know what it's like. It's really hard when people pay you compliments and stuff like, are you talking about me? Like, is that true? I'm delighted because we're going to have so much fun and talk about some things and I shouldn't say things, but we're going to talk about websites. We're going to talk about, starting the business. But before I get carried away, because I've got so much I want to ask you, I'm going to hand it over to you, beautiful, and get you to introduce yourself to the audience, and then we can get down and ask you some amazing questions.
My name's Nikki Jerd, and I own a company in a very lovely part of Australia called Cairns, and my business is called Precedent. So we make websites and custom software, usually for small to medium businesses, and we're pretty amazing at high rankings on Google as well. How I tend to think of myself is a bit like a digital bestie. I like to hold businesses' hands the whole way through, and we have a reputation for making things really easy, and we've had a company policy since the beginning of our business to never make people do embarrassing things on the internet. So there's no silly questions, and I love to help people through the things that they're really struggling with. And I find technical things tend to be a big confidence hit for new business owners, particularly. And so that's what I feel like my superpower is making it easy and building people's confidence in that space. I have been doing it for a long time. Like, I'm a bit of an internet veteran. We started our company in 2001, so I think that's more than 20 years ago now. So yeah, bit of a veteran in that space. And I'm also obsessed with coffee, so I brought my own.
Oh, same. I've had three already this morning, so that's okay.
Oh, good effort.
So much so. Like, it's like a policy, do not talk to me unless I've had a coffee. So
Oh, yes, I completely understand.
I had the opportunity of spending some time with you and you're helping me with my website and everything like that. And one thing I really, really enjoyed and I was really grateful is that you just use normal language, because it's so hard. And I feel like, every time, like if you go into corporate, you have to learn a different language. And I feel like that's in business and especially with websites, it's a whole new language that you need to learn and understand.
So that actually came about a bit deliberately, is when I started in the industry, it was very, very male dominated, and it kind of still is now. But I found, particularly in those early days, tech guys tended to be ones that were not great at communication, and particularly communication with the ladies. And my first boyfriend was a tech person, and I found he used to talk over my head from a tech perspective. And I think it was maybe an accidental thing, but we found as an industry that's really common for tech people is to really go over the heads of people. And so when we started our company, I said to my business partner, we're going to do the opposite of that. We need to use real language. And I actually joined Toastmasters early on the year we started our company, specifically for that reason, is to communicate better.
And I think it's so important because, with any business, you've got this vision inside of your head of what your business is going to look like, what you're selling or, promoting. But even now, like even myself, like I still find it hard to articulate of what I actually do.
Me too. Yeah, I find it challenging as well. I agree with you there. And most people do. I remember my grandma once told one of her friends, I overheard her in the next room, Nikki does something in computers. I don't know what it is.
My family has no idea what I do. They're like, oh yeah, she just does these little videos. And they don't understand the whole concept of it because it's very left field. And I think any person who goes into business for themselves, it is so left field because the tradition is you go to school, for females, you get married, like you're working your corporate career and then you have fun when you retire. So anytime you take that step to the left, And I always say you go down the pathway of less traveled. You know, people think that, you know, are you crazy? Like, what are you doing? Like, how could you do that? Like, and, you know, what have been like those sort of moments for you thinking, have I made the right decision, or, you know, am I on the right pathway of starting my own business?
Well, it was a long time ago now, and I was young and crazy. And so I don't know that those thoughts ever really crossed my mind, because I didn't really think of it as, I wasn't really in the career moment. I'd come straight out of university and started my business off the back of that. My parents were business owners, and so that was kind of a normal thing for our family, is you made your own way, you made your own path. So for me, it was a normal growing up thing. My business partner wasn't the same. His parents had a career, and for him, it was quite a challenge. So, yeah, it's been an interesting ride to manage both of those sides of the expectation. For me, I just always felt like backing myself was a good idea. These days, entrepreneurship is definitely more widespread than it was back then. And certainly, as a young person, I remember all of my clients in those early days were substantially older than me, because business owners weren't really in their teens back then. And so I tried not to meet people face to face, and I deliberately learnt language that made me sound a lot older than I was. I studied Latin for a little while, and yeah, I tried to sound a lot older on the phone. I tried to deepen my voice, and I spoke slower and calmer, and that's how I tended to tackle that. That was the biggest challenge for me, really, is the age difference between who I was and who my clients were. But what I did find, which is kind of surprising, is I became more comfortable with meeting people face to face, and they had this idea of, oh, give the young person a go. And that's something I just wasn't expecting when we started. Does that
And
answer your
I think
question?
that's a lot now too. Like, as obviously, I think COVID had such a turning point for a lot of business owners, because a lot of it is that we actually wanted to get to know the person behind the business, not just look at a brand as such, and really get to know who you were working for, and to get a little bit more personal with them as well, and have that actual relationship with people as well.
I think people like to do business with others that they know, like, and trust, and getting to know those people and liking them and trusting them definitely has been tricky during the COVID era of that online space. We can't really touch and feel the people we're working with, whereas once upon a time, so we would sit across a table from them, have a meeting, have a coffee, and get to know that person with a lot more detail. And now the Zoom experience is a lot more streamlined. Zoom and Teams, yeah, the Zoom team meetings tend to be a bit more churn and burn. We can move through them more quickly. We can have more meetings in a single day, and we don't tend to absorb the relationships the same way, I think. Do you have that same kind of feeling that it's a arm's length and a bit more impersonal? It's a person on a screen rather than, yeah, a real living human.
And it's interesting, like you say that, because I'm such a people person. So, you know, like, I would love just going and, you know, a new client and say, well, can we just catch up for a coffee? I'd rather just have a coffee with somebody and, you know, really get to know them more so, opposed to going straight into sales as such. And Zoom had sort of desensitized that, I guess, probably a little bit. But I
I
can't
found it
just.
sped up our sales too, in the same kind of a way. Yeah.
Because
Things,
people can
people
see
made
you.
dis They made decisions more quickly. They didn't sit on them as long as they used to. But I don't, it's not a lovely experience like it once was, that's for sure. But Christine, I'll have a coffee with you. If we're ever in the same city, I think we should have a coffee date.
Oh, I think so too. Absolutely. Well, I mean, if only I'd known you a while ago, because I lived in Townsville for a while. So just, you
I'm
know,
so sorry. Yeah, so sorry.
you know, I was an army wife back then. So, you know, that's okay. it was interesting life. But, you know, what I have found when I'm talking to people about, you know, starting a business, and one of the key things that comes across is that you really need to know who you are. And I think that, you know, you need to know a sense of self, so that when you are promoting your business, there's that extra level of confidence. Do you find that with people when they're coming in, especially they're talking about a website, they're like, oh, well, why do you need to know about me?
Yeah, but often they don't actually have that kind of knowledge of their own business or their brand yet either. So both of those ends of self-discovery, who are you going to be as a business and who are you going to be as a person? Both of those ends are absolute mysteries to maybe 99 of 100 of my clients. Very few of them have spent the time crafting things like a brand voice or having some understanding of their target market and things like that. It's quite sobering. Small business owners, they don't necessarily go into it with a corporate approach. They're learning things for the first time. They're very green to business. And because of that space of learning, I find it's an interesting part of my job to help them with that self-discovery
And when
and
you're like
sometimes give them the confidence to be themselves as well.
I think so too, because like it was interesting. I just had a conversation earlier today that authenticity is actually one of my highest values. And I think that, if you're going into business to be you, to fully show up as yourself, again, it builds up that like no trust factor. But also too, it like you said, it helps develop that brand voice. It helps develop who you want to be and how you actually want to show up in business as well. How do you bring that out in people who may not have done the work or even understand that big role that that will play.
I guess it's being a good crafted interviewer, really, is asking questions at the right time, but not asking them too fast. Because I feel like if someone feels like I'm intruding upon their space, they'll close down. And well, they'll kind of think of me as nosy. Whereas what I want is them to think of me as curious, nosy, curious, two sides of the same coin. But I find I have to enter slowly and then at the right time ask the right question. Yeah, I feel like some people are more closed to self-discovery than others as well. It's a brand new or perhaps a foreign concept that they've never really studied. Often they're engineering types, if you know what I mean. People who
Yes.
are very linear thinkers, but deep thinkers, they're the ones who are usually new to self-discovery. I've experienced, and we do a bit of work with tradies as well. That's another similar space where I find that self-discovery hasn't necessarily been explored, but it's where they can get really big impacts from that. I actually have an example. I have a recent client who said to me, Nikki, we had three clients this week who contacted us by looking at our website, and they said they didn't look at anybody else. And they said it was because our website made us look really trustworthy. And interestingly, this is a guy who installs CCTV. And I said to him, trust is everything in your industry. You're going into someone's space. Often you'll be going into someone's home where there's just a lady at home. So you need to look and feel super trustworthy. And I really pushed him to get a professional photo shoot of him on the job. And it's made just such a massive difference. He gets so many more leads than he ever did. And he's getting the kind of leads now where people aren't looking elsewhere, which I think is a tremendous result from someone who installs CCTV cameras. A very small business, he only works for himself.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's like those little things. Like, I mean, when, somebody is looking at creating a website because, it goes beyond self as such. It's, how you want to portray and also attracting your ideal clients, in that as well. Like, what is the, like, obviously, I truly believe professional photos are a must for everybody. And look, even if you're super uncomfortable in front of the camera, because even I am,
Everyone is.
look,
Everyone's uncomfortable.
it makes a massive difference to it. What are some of the other key things when it comes to, building a great website for business owners that maybe just be starting out?
Let me tell you the one key thing. I think this is the deal breaker, the super important thing, and it is the thing that is glossed over and that most business owners don't take time to think about or craft. And that is writing quality information about what you do. And so often people haven't taken the time to say what they do for a living, what are the benefits of your service, what are your key points of difference among your competitors? And it's the thing that makes such a big difference between somebody calling you and somebody just glossing past your website and looking elsewhere. So the more detail you can add about the services you provide or the products you sell, the better off your website will be, like by a thousand times better, particularly in the world of e-commerce. I find people starting e-commerce websites for the first time don't invest any time in their product descriptions, and that's what they're selling. People need to have the confidence to pick it up, have a look at it, touch it, smell it, all of the emotions that they would normally get from a face-to-face sale. They need to be able to feel that in your product description and the photos, particularly in the e-commerce space. But for the everyday professional service, describing the things you do, why you do them, why you're good at them, that's the big missing thing.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think, look, it's something I still need to work on with my own website.
We all do.
You
It's a
know,
never-ending project. The
it's
website, it
never,
never sleeps.
no, but you know, leaving like emotion, like, yeah, a lot of people go, oh, it's a product-based business, but it, literally every business is an emotion-based business.
Sure is. I totally agree with you there. Yeah.
Yeah. And how, you know, it's the client journey of how they're going to feel working with you or how they're going to feel buying something from you, whether it's a product or a service. It's that emotion because, you know, we all know how we want to feel. And if you're having a crappy day and you want to go and buy a candle to make you feel good, you actually want to get that emotion of how you're going to feel when you receive it. You know, if they
And
come
with
in
the
and find
candles,
a
how it's going to smell, you can't smell it from a distance.
no. And that would be the same. Like, you know, when people, you know, coming to you like buying a website, but it's not just about the end product of the website, but it's how they work with you, how they're going to interact with somebody as well. And I think that's what a lot of, I guess, in a way, service-based businesses sort of miss is that experience of working with somebody.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Service-based businesses often don't talk about the emotional content. Sometimes I've seen it in the family law space. Family lawyers tend to be a little bit better at it, and perhaps that's because they're dealing with highly sensitive situations. But it's a good consideration, I think, to have a think about what will your client feel. Now, in our case, we know that web developers tend to be slow to communicate. They're often just a single person, and so they don't have a team, and therefore deadlines are an issue for them. They go quiet for a while, and also they tend to be tech people, so they don't make it particularly easy. And so we concentrate on those parts in our marketing, is the plain English, making it easy, and being approachable as a company, being quick to respond.
Oh,
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. When somebody is obviously, you know, starting out, there's a big debate whether or not to have a website or not. What would you say are the key benefits for people of having a website opposed to just using social media?
Irrespective of whether or not you have a website, people will still Google you. So they'll Google your business, they'll Google your own name, and they will judge you based on what they find. And typically, if they only find a Facebook page, it's hard to think that that business is a legitimate one. So that's really what a website provides you, is a sense of legitimacy, a sense of trust. So that's what I'd say to people who aren't having a website. You should definitely at least register yourself a domain name, and you should get a professional email address that's connected to that domain name, because that's substantially better than someone just advertising a Gmail account, for example. It shows that, you know, I've invested in a domain name, my business is a real business, and at least just have some kind of a page which displays your contact details. I think that's the bare minimum, really. The social spaces are not your own, and I've seen over the years, as social has evolved, they've changed the game a bit. Like Facebook now is a pay-to-play platform. You get very little exposure from any of your organic content. And if you just operate off that as your marketing channel, Facebook's going to change again at some point. They might make you pay for the service to have a business page, for example. Whereas a website is always yours. The domain name is always yours. You can shift it, you can change it, you can make it whatever you want it to be. And I tend to think of the website as the best center point for all of your online activity, because it's completely yours.
Yeah,
So that's
absolutely.
what I'd say. The bare minimum is get a domain name, get a professional email address, and then just something that at least displays your contact details.
And when somebody is like starting to look at, you know, first time of getting a website, what is generally the average sort of turnaround time for, look, I know that there's, you know, different levels of different websites, but you know, if they're in sort of like a service-based business, what would be the time frame that they need to allow to develop a website?
Yeah, good question. I can't speak for other web developers, but I can speak for our experiences is we need 3 weeks. And the commercial reality of that is usually there's a little bit of time we're collecting materials off people. There's a little bit of time in the middle where we do some feedback and approval, and then there's some time at the end where we do another feedback and approval round. And so I think the commercial reality is about 6 weeks, and our job as a web developer is about 3 weeks of that six. The other time is just waiting for stuff to happen, waiting for people to think and make decisions and stuff like that. So I reckon that's about the average, certainly the average for us. But I've heard of projects that go on for years, but they're a lot bigger. Average small business, yeah.
And when they're obviously, you've got your website, and like for my example, been in business nearly 4 years, and now I'm like going, okay, I've already had one website revamp. I think it's time for another one, because as you get to know yourself better, you get to know your brand better, and also your clients and what they need. What sort of, process do businesses need to go through when they're sort of doing a bit of an overhaul of their websites?
Yeah, so first of all, time frames for an overhaul. We do find that design trends shift and you start to look old at about the 3 years mark. And that's because the way in which websites are built changes a lot over the years. So I think if you're at the 3 year mark and you've had your website for that long, it's probably time to have a look at a visual refresh. There's a couple of key things. So if your search engine rankings are important to you need to maintain the content that you've got on your existing site. Or improve it. So when you add text, when you add pages, you are adding rankings, and when you take them away, you're removing those rankings. So that's a fairly important consideration. Also, if you've got a fairly big website, when you change to a new one, probably your addresses will change, your URLs will change. And so you want to redirect that old URL to the new one. It doesn't always change, but it usually does. And that's a key part of you being able to maintain the traffic during that transition period over to the new site. So they're the two biggest things is check what content you've got that maybe isn't serving you well anymore and either expand upon it or rewrite it, but you largely want to keep it intact to keep your rankings. And then the final thing is most people are a little bit lazy about taking photos of themselves in their business all the time. So, Christine, you should like turn around and take a selfie of you and me on the
I
Zoom
should
right
do.
now.
We will do that
And
afterwards.
yeah, why don't we do that afterwards? And then you've got a little bit of content. So I think over the years you should maintain more and more photography of yourself and your business, you and your services, you on the job, so that you can build those into the next website. Otherwise, you're scrounging around and looking through stock photos and it doesn't have the same trust factor.
Oh, that is such a gem, because, like, honestly, I'm so busy doing what I need to do that I do forget to take stock of, like, the moments that are happening in the business as well. I think that you, like, honestly, I think you're just a gem. You've got so much information, and I'll be coming
That's
to work
very
with you
kind.
very soon, so I'm super excited. But I want to, before we go, what would you say is one, in being in business for the length of time that you have, what's been one key piece of advice that you would give to, somebody just starting off right now?
You'll fall in and love in and out of love with your business over and over again, a bit faster than you would with a hobby, I think. So you need to find a way to maintain yourself during those downtimes. And I feel like many of us let our health go. So we don't move as much. We don't sleep so well. We're not eating as healthy. So we might eat on the run or grab something takeaway, and we won't build exercise into our regime because when you first start your business, you're working really big hours and more hours than you've ever worked for before. But it's for yourself. It's for building your own empire. It's not for building someone else's. So we're usually okay with doing that. But it does take a toll, all of those things. So I would recommend that you build your health priorities into business so that when you have that dip of love, you've got something to fall back on, you're still maintaining yourself.
Oh, I love that so much. And I can so relate to both of those, and definitely have experienced it all. So before we go, I've got five quick rapid fire questions to ask you so people can just get to know you a little bit better.
Okay. Yep.
Are you a beach or a country person?
Beach person, but I
Oh,
also love the country.
Yeah, I live in the country, but I go to the beach twice a week. So yeah, you're my type of girl.
I sunburn easily, so beaches can be scary places.
Yes. Would you rather curl up with a book or watch a movie?
Oh. I'd rather be in nature. I'm definitely not a movie watcher. Not even a, I don't even own a TV actually. So I guess out of those two it would be book, but I love audiobooks, so I don't tend to curl up with books anymore. I tend to listen to them while I'm doing something else, and usually that's going for a walk.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Now, yeah, I already know what this is. All right. So I would normally ask like coffee or tea, and I know you're going to say coffee, but how do you have your coffee?
So I love coffee, which is lightly roasted, and I use a filter to create the coffee. Usually something like a V60 or a product called a Clever Coffee Griffer, and I usually buy very high-end coffee that's fruity and naturally processed and super delicious.
Oh,
I'm a
excellent.
big coffee snob.
Okay, well, we've got a roaster actually down the road, so when I go in there next, I'll get some and I'll ship it up to you. So
Oh, cool. Ask them if they have any filter coffee.
I will
It's
ask them.
quite unusual. Not many roasters do a lot of filter coffee.
Yeah, I will definitely ask them. Would you prefer to travel by air or by sea?
Probably travel by air, but I love being on the sea. I'm just not a cruise type.
I love it. I love it.
Love boats, love planes, and I also fall asleep really easily in planes. In fact, I'm about to do a trip this time next month to the Bahamas, and it's 42 hours door to door. And so I'm like, okay, that's 2 days I have to do my sleeping on a plane.
Oh, see, I can't sleep on a plane. I'm a very nervous flyer. I still do it, but yeah, I can't sleep on a plane. But no, that's okay. I love it. And the other last question I have for you is, would you prefer to get dressed up and go out for a nice dinner, or would you prefer someone to make you dinner at home?
Dinner at home, definitely. In fact, I co-founded a company called Gather, and it's all about having dinner parties at home. We launched in the US last year, and we're Australia-wide, and
Oh.
it's a pretty quirky little service. And so I feel like that's a tiny little bit of self-promotion for me to add in there, but I do
I
genuinely
love
love
it.
having
I love
someone
it.
else's cuisine.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love it. I have absolutely loved chatting with you. You are just a wealth of knowledge, and I'm so excited, to have you on the show and to share your gifts. We are going to put all your links below that people can reach out. Nikki, thank you so much for being here today. Lovely.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
All right. Thank you to everybody who has joined in and watched this episode. If you have liked it, make sure you hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, make sure you drop them below. And I'll put all the links of how you can reach out to Nikki below. Make sure that you live life to the fullest every single day. Love and light to yous all.